If you have your Bibles, if you turn with me over, I'm going to look at a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to ask y'all to turn to them. My wife does have a list of all the scriptures we'll be using this morning. So if you want to see them, if you want a copy of them after church, see us and we'll give you a copy of them. But we're going to be talking about a relationship with God this morning. So if you will, turn over in your Bibles to probably one of the most popular scriptures that people know. It's John 3:16. That's going to be our text for this morning, John 3:16. But before we get started, talking to the preacher yesterday, I asked him, I said, "Preacher, can I give a shout out to somebody?" He said, "Yeah." So I want to thank my niece and her husband, Lisa and Ray. They live out in Montana, and they're actually watching us. So I want to thank them for watching. And my sister, Dorinda, lives out in Arkansas. She watched Wednesday night. And you know how family members are. She told me, she says, "Bubba, don't you ever learn?" Now, I got five sisters, and all of them call me Bubba. And I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Your shoulder." She says, "You've done it three times." She said, "But I got a cure for you." She says, "If you'll just put your hand up on the pulpit, take your little pointed finger, and you do it like this, people will keep up with you that way, and you don't have to move your arm." But I wouldn't do that. Okay, John 3:16, probably most of the well-known scripture there is, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I want you to think about this morning, relationship. You know, to have a relationship with God. For a relationship to be biblical, it's got to be in accord with the teachings of the scripture. So, let's look at that verse again. "For God so loved the world." You want to have a relationship with God? The first thing you got to do, there's no way you could ever have a relationship with God without accepting him as your personal Savior. If you don't accept him as your personal Savior, you can go through life, you can try to be the best person you can possibly be. You can attend church. I've seen churches where the music director led music in church most of his life and finally accepted Christ as his Savior. Deacons finally accept Christ as their Savior. Church members that works in church, teaches Sunday school, finally accepted Christ as their Savior. You cannot have a relationship with God. It's impossible unless you accept him first as your personal Savior. It just can't happen. And the plan of salvation is so easy that you can set children down and explain it to them, and they can understand. The Bible makes it so plain and so easy to understand. John, the third chapter, the 36th verse, there again, I'm not asking you to flip to them. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." See? Without accepting Christ as your Savior, there's no relationship. The wrath of God, if you never accept Christ, the wrath of God is on you. So you cannot, with his wrath, have a relationship over here. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever, you know, if you, I'm going to finish looking at that verse in just a second. And I, when I preach, when I read scripture to you, I don't change words. What I read comes out of the Bible, word for word. But this morning, I want you to think about this. When you look at John 3:16 and you get to that word, whosoever, and here in Romans 10:13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to think about something this morning. You take that word, whosoever, out, and you put your name in. For Bobby Heath shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. If Leroy Smith shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. So you take whosoever out and you put your name in there, it becomes very personal for you. God himself is looking at you. And he's saying, you want to have a relationship with me? You want to get close to me? You want to walk with me? You want to do my will? You want to do things? First of all, we've got to get right. You've got to have salvation. You've got to trust the Lord. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And oh, what a gift he gave us. You know, verse 9 says, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, God sent his son. He's sinning, and his son came so freely to die on that cross. He hung there. He bled. He died. He had a crown of thorns put in his head. He had his side pierced. He was beaten, and he'd done it all so willingly. And it's because of the grace of God. Without the grace of God, without his mercy, we couldn't be saved. It's by his grace that he saves us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now those scriptures I just read, you can take and set somebody down that doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, and you can go through those scriptures. Those scriptures is not hard to understand. It's kind of plain. It's kind of simple. God don't make things hard. He makes it simple. He makes it simple for us to understand that, hey, all you got to do is ask. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Just ask me, and I'll do it for you. I'll save you. It's simple. All you got to do is ask him. But now, after you're saved, now we're starting to have a relationship with God, because he has saved us. We're heir to his kingdom. Have you ever thought about that? We're a child of God. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. We become a child of God. We become heir to everything he's got. One day we'll have it all. You know, that street of gold that's in heaven, one day that's going to be part mine. I'm going to walk down that street of gold. It's going to be part mine. Those gates of pearls. Hey, I ain't never had pearls in my life, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to have gates of them. Because I'm an heir to the kingdom of God. I've got a relationship with God now. You know? And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand. But how many of us is married and been married for a while. I know I have. And you wonder how you can keep your how a relationship works, how you can keep that relationship in harmony. I'll tell you how. Communication. Without communication, it's not going to work. Just like at work, if you go to work, if you got a job, if you hold a job, and your boss wants a job done, but he never explains to you, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take that shovel, I want you to go out there, and I want you to dig a ditch from here to there, 2 foot wide and 3 foot deep. If he never tells you that, you have no idea what he wants done. He's got to communicate with you. That's what we got to do to have a relationship with God. After we accept him as our Savior, we got to communicate with him. How do we communicate with him? By prayer. Get down on your knees. Go to your bedroom. Get in a quiet spot. And you pray. Do it from where you're sitting. You pray. You talk to him. And God will talk to you back. How does he talk to you back? Now you got to get in his word. You got to know what he wants you to do. He'll tell you. It's there. This is what I want you to do. You know, over in the book of Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter, verse 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that a great verse of scripture? Call unto God. Pray unto God. And when you do, he's going to start showing you things that you knowest not. Great and mighty things that you knowest not. But how you get to know that? You got to pray. You got to call out to him. You got to be a one-on-one with him. You know, in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 24 says, therefore, I say, and this is Christ talking now, therefore, I say unto you, whatever things ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, we're going to look at a couple more of those verses in a minute. And one of them is going to tell you that when you pray, and if it's to glorify God, he'll do it. When you pray, you want to pray for things that will glorify God, that will give him the glory. You know, I said the other night, I pray every night, God, put somebody in my path that I can tell about you. You know, and I don't know of many days he hadn't done that. Somewhere along the line, about the only day he don't put somebody in my path is the day that I don't go out of my house. And then, my wife talks about it, but I know she's a Christian, and I know she knows what God does in my life. But just the other day, I was getting out of the car, walking up to go in to the store to pick up just a couple of things, and there was a black gentleman walking by, and he said something, about, getting old. And he's a pretty old fellow. I said, yeah, but when we get to heaven, we won't be old. He looked at me. I said, when we get to heaven, we're going to have a glorified body, body like Christ. Be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Our bones ain't going to ache. We're going to be able, Brother Andy, you're going to be able to walk right down that street of gold, and your knees are never going to bother you again when you get to heaven. You're going to have a glorified body. And he said, brother, he says, tell me more about this. And I got talking to him. He said, brother, you're making my eyebrows raise. You know, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for putting this man in my path today that I could tell about you. You know, and I did. I thanked him for it. But moving on, I don't know how I got off on that, but moving on. In Luke chapter 9, chapter 11, verse 9, it says, and I say, and here again, this is Christ talking. He says, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Okay, so we ask God for things. Do we seek those things in earnest? You know, do we just in a general prayer, you know, God, you know, do this, do that, do something else? Or when we pray, do we earnestly seek His will? Do we earnestly seek to do what He wants us to do? Have we ever, when the scripture says, knock and it shall be opened unto you? You know, when I think about what that means to me, is knock and it shall be opened unto you, I think, get in your Bible. Research what you're asking God for. The answer's right here. Knock on the Bible. Knock on that door. And He'll open it. He'll show you. John, the 14th chapter, we're going to look, the two verses here is 13 and 14. And John says, whatever, and here again, this is Christ talking, and whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. Did y'all get that last part? Whatever you ask me, I'll do it. If it's going to glorify the Father. If you're asking to do something that's going to glorify the Father, I'll do it. You know, and if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, this is Christ talking. You know, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, I got to preach on a Sunday night here before the preacher got real sick with this stuff. But I brought a message on promises. The different promises that's in the Bible that God's made us. These last three verses of Scripture that I've read to you, they're promises God made to us. That's a promise. John 15, 7. Here again, this is Jesus talking. He says, if ye abide in me and in my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I want you to really think about that now. It says, if ye abide in me, are we walking daily with Him? Are we doing the things He wants us to do? Are we trying to do the things that glorifies the Father? Are we reading our Bible daily? Are we studying His Word? Are we researching to see what His Word is telling us to do? Are we showing Him that we love Him? Are we abiding in Him? He says, if we are. And He says, if my words abide in you, you know, I'm not going to ask anybody, but, you know, I have a real hard time remembering quoting Scripture. It's not that I don't know it. I just have a hard time remembering to quote it. You know, you ask me about something, and pretty much I can say, well, that's over in the book of John. That's over in the book of Revelations or Romans, and I can flip over there in just a minute. I can have that verse of Scripture for you. But to remember it, I have a tough time. And I think it takes a gift to remember things like that. But the Bible says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So, we've looked at having a relationship with God and what you have to do to have that relationship. And now that you've had, now that you've accepted Christ as your Savior, now you, Brother Andy said it this morning, you want to grow in Christ. No. When you get 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road, after accepting Christ as your Savior, are you still living the joy of when you first accepted Christ? If you're not, I think you ought to go back, just like Mr. Andy said, go back to that day that you accepted Christ. You pull those memories out and you remember how excited you was, how you felt about being a Christian, about what God had just done for you. You know, he didn't have to do that, but he did, because he loved us. Now that we've talked about a relationship, we talked about how to maintain that relationship of praying and doing the things God. Now we're going to talk about fellowship, having a fellowship with Christ, having a fellowship with people. You know, just this past Wednesday night, the text of my message was from 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verses 14 and 15. And verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now, we talked about that on Wednesday night. But if we do that, not only will we have a relationship with God, we're talking to him, and if we'll do what that scripture says here, now we're going to have a fellowship with God. He tells us he'll hear from heaven. He'll forgive our sins. And he will heal our land so we can have a fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Did that happen for you when you were saved? Did all the your old life leave you? Did everything become new to you? The Bible says it will. If it didn't, I suggest you go back and check your salvation. And we're going to look at two more verses of Scripture. And then we're going to probably close. But looking back on 2 Corinthians, I love that verse when it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? Are you there? Do you have that relationship with Christ? Are you communicating with him? Is he talking back to you? Are you going to have that fellowship with him? If we be in Christ, he's a new creation. We're, when God saved us, changed our life forever, gave us a home in glory, changed us for time and eternity. Isn't that great? You know, we worry about things here. We worry about this virus that's going around. Sometimes we worry about, oh, this bill slipped in on me. How am I going to pay that? We worry about, oh, one thing and another. Well, guess what, folks? When he calls us home, when we get to glory, when we sit at his feet, praising him for time and eternity, we ain't never, and I use the word ain't, we ain't never going to have to worry about anything again. We'll be at home with Christ. He will take care of everything. We'll never have another worry. Hebrews 10:25. Here again, this talking about the fellowship of Christ and fellowship with Christ and fellowship with one another. You know, he wants us to be with his people. He wants us to have fellowship one with another. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another insomuch as more as ye see the day approaching. He wants us to come. He wants us to be together. He wants us to have fellowship. You know, when you look at some of the things this church does, the brotherhood breakfasts, the banquets, the ladies' meetings. That's fellowship. That's gathering together. That's the fellowship. And the Bible tells us when one or two or three is gathered in his name, he's there also. So not only are we having a fellowship with one another here this morning, it's great to see everybody here. And I want to thank you for coming. But we're also having a fellowship with God. He's here. He's in this building. I was talking to the preacher this morning on the way out there, and on the way out here, and I forget how it was said, but I told him, I said, oh, I know God's going to be there this morning. And he just kind of let me talk. He's a good listener. Anybody ever notice how good he listens? He's a great listener. So he just kind of let me talk. And I said, because I'm bringing God with me, I know he's going to be there. So I know God's here this morning because there's more than two or three gathered here in his name. So he promised us, the Bible says it, he'll be here. And last but not least, over in the book of 1 John, the first chapter, and I love this scripture here. The seventh verse says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Let's go back and read that again. But if we walk in the light, are we walking daily in the light of Christ? Are we letting Christ lead us to do the things? Are we walking a walk that's glorifying him? Are we doing the things he wants us to do? He tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that great to know? Well, when you stop and you think about Christ hanging on that cross, shedding his blood for us, he was the last sacrifice that would ever be needed. No other sacrifice will ever be needed. His blood covered it for time and eternity. Isn't that great to know? So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. And I love the fellowship with Christian people. I love the fellowship with God's people. You know, you ain't going to get in trouble then. Yeah. You're not going to have to worry about drinking and cussing and fighting and brawling. You ain't going to worry about none of that. These are God's people. We're God's people. We don't do that kind of stuff. I pray we don't, but we're God's people. We're trying to walk in the light as he is in the light. We're trying to live an example that is pleasing to him. Wednesday night I asked the question, do you know what the word Christian means? And I forget her name, but she's sitting right up here where you're sitting. She looked up at me. She says, it means to be Christ-like. And it does. We call ourselves Christians. Are we Christ-like? Are we living the life that Christ would live? Are we living a life that Christ is pleasing unto him? If we're not, we need to get right with God. So we looked at the relationship with God. We looked at the communication, the prayer life with God. That's the only way you can have a good relationship. And we looked at what those two will do for you. It will give you a fellowship with God. And once you get in the fellowship with God, after you get in your relationship and your communication with God, you get to the fellowship with God. And as my grandfather would say, now we're stepping in high cotton. You know, we're doing the right things. We're putting forth the right effort to do the things that God's called us to do. Let's all stand.